yourself. You're like a crack addict. You're scary.
I felt kind of panicked and like I had to go on the computer or I'd be bored to death.
Technology isn't this separate thing from us. It is us.
Eating away at the social fabric of this country.
It is us.
Control You by Vire, which you can find at facebook.com/VireNoise. Welcome into the playlist. Coming up later in the program, we are going to be speaking with someone really cool, Alice Bright Sky. Can't wait for you to meet her. Can't wait to play her music. But before we do that, we are going to hear a song by The Wet Secrets. This is their latest single, Sunshine. For more information, thewetsecrets.com.
Chemicals. Hi, this is Alice Bright Sky. I'm going to be talking to Turtle in just a few minutes, but before that, you're going to hear a tune off my album Box With Me, and it's called Pry Me Away.
Shatters, how easy it is to break. Careful now, can you feel the ground? It is beginning to shake. Pry me away, pry me away, pry me away. So quickly through the window of opportunity, just like a draft in the night. See how words can twist and hands can ring like phones inside empty homes when nobody's there to hear. Oh, do you hear me, dear? Black and blue, there are more than two colors to be here, and this history won't make me.
Pry Me In by my next guest, which is Alice Bright Sky. How's it going, Alice?
It's going well. Very well.
Or should
from the rainy day.
Yeah, I mean, your last name is Bright Sky, and it's raining where you are, so it's not so bright.
It's not so bright right now.
Do you enjoy the rain? Do you enjoy when it's all rainy and cold?
You know, I think not so much on a... you know, sort of a comfort level, but on an artistic level I do, because it's certainly great for songwriting. It, you know, it's conducive for locking yourself in a room and just sort of stealing away with your guitar and getting moody. So I like it for that reason.
So right now, are you locked in some sort of closet with your guitar? Or
not yet, but I do plan to. In about 2 hours, I've got a rehearsal. So I will be locked in the proverbial room with the proverbial guitar, the actual guitar in the actual room.
Very cool. The album that is out now is Box of Me, which we are playing cuts from. This album, did it take a long time for you to make it? Because I know you took like a 3-year hiatus for music. Were you writing this album during that time, or was this album a kind of a accumulation of those 3 years after?
Yeah, well, you're very kind. Saying that it took a little while is an understatement. It did take a long time. I was not writing the album in that time that I was taking the hiatus. I had run into some roadblocks, both, you know, artistic and logistical. And what I mean by that is that I had started the album in very late 2006 with my producer, Paula De Gregorio. And we had been, you know, recorded on and off for a period of 3 years. I was, you know, kind of taking the long the long route to getting it done because I had a full-time job and I was taking vacation time and, you know, artists, how artists sort of live this dual lifestyle in New York City and other places. So the 3 years was sort of the expected time frame for it to take, or maybe a little bit out, but not too far out. Around 2009, I was almost effectively done with the album. They had one song that I wasn't happy with the production on, and that song is Up, Up, and Away. And so I took it to some other friends, and we solved most of the problems, but not all of them. There was one instrumental part that just nothing was really working for. So I just, you know, I tried everything I could think of. My friends, my producer friends, had tried everything they could think of, and we couldn't come up with the solution. So I ended up taking a little bit of a break, and in that time I met my husband, I got married, and bought a house, and moved my life out of New York City and up into Westchester, and that is what I spent my 3 years on, all of those sort of domestic activities, if you will, and then eventually I realized I've got to get back to this and solve this problem so I can release the album, and that finally happened in 2012.
When you were thinking about going back for the album, was it because of that final song you just weren't happy with the production, so you were just like, oh, I might as well finish that? You finished it, and then is that what gave you the kind of wherewithal to come back to music?
Yes. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a crazy thing that one song could hold up the release of your album, especially when you're a prolific songwriter like me. It's not like I didn't have other songs that could have put on the album, but I got stuck on it. I just was like, this is the song that I want on the album, and I don't want to release it without it. And I just got really stubborn about it, and that stubbornness unfortunately led to apathy, and that apathy was sort of supported by all the other things that were going on in my life at the time, like, you know, marriage, and then I got pregnant, and it was while I was pregnant that I realized, you know, music is such a really important part of my life, and I just realized with my son coming, what a ridiculous thing or moment in time it would be if he found these tracks and was like, hey, Mom, you know, whatever happened to these? And I couldn't have a good answer for him. Like, why didn't I release this album? Why didn't I solve this one little problem? So it was really that motivated me to just get the job done. And everything just fell in line as soon as I made the decision. And it all came together. And, yeah, I just sort of got reinvigorated about music in general, started performing again and reconnecting with all of my musician friends in the city and around the tri-state area, and really it kind of opened a new chapter.
Two questions. Because of this process, now do you side more with Axl Rose and his Chinese Democracy?
That is an interesting an interesting idea. Yeah, maybe.
Very interesting, right? Yeah. So now you can't blame any of your favorite bands that put off, you know, prolonged albums as well.
Yeah, look at My Bloody Valentine, right? Didn't they? And look at the Breeders. Those bands, like, I think they went like almost 10 years before their last album. So, no, I'm a big proponent of quality over quantity, and I've never understood the album a year concept. That just seems like it's a money making scheme that the labels have kind of come up with, and indie artists now sort of subscribe to it because, you know, they're trying to sort of stay relevant and stay active, especially with the internet and how much music is out there. You've kind of always got to have something coming out or else people lose interest or focus because there's so much to pay attention to. So, I mean, I get why it's done, but I don't see myself being a high quantity artist, even though I've got a ton of songs and I could, but I'm a stickler for quality.
When you did come back after that 3 year hiatus and start talking to your musician friends, how were they? Were they like looking at you like, you know, like you've been out for so long, like why are you coming back? Or was it, oh, you know, very accepting?
You know, that's pretty astute. I think a lot of my musician friends have written me off, you know, or had written me off as like, she's married, she lives in Westchester, she's gonna have a baby, she's done. You know, like music's not really happening with Alice anymore. So I think I'm getting a lot of resurrected interest, you know, my friends are always supportive, but I think that, you know, what you're, you know, implying is absolutely correct, that a lot of my musician friends kind of gave up on the idea that I was going to be doing anything relevant or, meaningful in the way of music.
Did you explain to them that you have to grow, that you can't just be the same person all the time?
I haven't, because I assume that they've, that this is more a gut reaction than an actual cerebral one, because most of my friends are pretty smart. So I assume they kind of know that and are seeing it as I'm evolving. But I live up in Westchester, so I've also lost touch with a lot of people. And like I said, I'm getting back in touch with those folks and trying to reconnect. But it's tough geographically, too, just when you leave the city. I was located in New York City for 10 years, and when you start to move your life out of New York City, you realize what an interesting sort of microcosm that city is. It's like very insular, and it's very easy to get disconnected. Just moving 30 miles outside of it, suddenly there's this big divide. So, there are a lot of reasons for it.
Right. I'm curious if your next album, you're going to touch on those themes.
Well, it's funny. I don't have most of my music is really, it comes from sort of some trauma or dramatic event, usually not such a good event, usually in love, or, typical sort of themes that one songwrites about. And now that I'm married and I, kind of have my life organized and I'm a little bit older, so I'm not going through the sort of emotional turmoil that you do in your 20s and early 30s, I definitely have less of that kind of material to drive me, so I am seeking new areas of inspiration, which is, it's a new thing for me, so I'm trying to find my voice.
Okay, well, let's hear your voice as we hear another song off of your album, Box of Me, and then we're going to have more with my guest, Alice Brightsky, right here on The Playlist.
Delicate and fragile, he was charming, I was agile, and I don't want him back, but I do. So easily broken, this thing that we built. Maybe I wasn't meant to go through this with you. And I don't understand how we have done all we could do. If there's more than we can, and I don't understand. Two different people can live inside of one man. There is a dark part of us, a place that collects all the dust. A door to a room we keep locked up tight, tight, tight. And there is a switch on the wall, controls the lamp in the hall. Turn on the light, 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 and unlock the door,
unlock the door,
to let ourselves in. Now I am glued to the floor. I am alone, and the air I'm breathing is getting thin. Well, delicate and fragile, he was charming, I was agile, and I don't want him back, but I do. Easily broken, this thing that we built. Maybe I wasn't meant to go through this with you. And how does this love translate? How does this love translate? How does this love translate into this lover's fate? Lover's fate. There is a dark part of us, a place that collects all dust. A door to a room we keep locked up tight, tight, tight. And there is a switch on the wall, controls the lamp in the hall. Turn on the light, light, light. to the floor. I am alone and I am getting thin. Delicate and fragile, he was charming, I was agile, and I don't want him back, but I do. How does this love translate? How does this love translate? How does this love translate into this lover's fate? Lover's fate. Lover's fate. Lover's fate. Delicate and fragile, he was charming, I was agile, and I don't want him back, but I do.
Hey, this is Alice Bright Sky. If you like what you've been listening to, I'd love you to log on and check out, or not log on, but check out my website at alicebrightsky.com. I'm also on Bandcamp, iTunes, CD Baby, and just about anywhere you can buy music, I'm there, so check me out.
They say the best things in life are free. I say I've paid for just about everything I have. Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know that I have. They say the rain will wash away everything. Your pain is only as much as God thinks you can stand. So I'm gonna sit here for as long as I can. Because I'm not as strong, I'm not as strong, I'm not as strong, maybe as he might think I am. No, I'm not as strong, I'm not as strong. Maybe yes, he might think I am. They say all the things that I would expect them to say. I am not surprised, I am not surprised by anything anymore.
And that was I Am by Alice Brightsky, which you can find at alicebrightsky.com. It's a toss-up between I Am and then the final song that we're going to play, which is Up, Up, and Away, which are two of my favorite songs off the album. Wanted to know about the song I Am, because it's so acoustic, but yet it's so rock at the same time. You know, I really like that.
So I love that. Thank you. That's exactly what I was going for. And I'll tell you, my influences for that song really, I think, come through, you know, in my opinion, at least. I'm very happy to see some of my, you know, favorite influences kind of having a positive effect on my music. One of those being Kristen Hirsch, formerly of the Throwing Muses, and she's been solo for a really long time. But what I learned from Kristen Hirsch, if you haven't listened to her, go check her out, is that an acoustic guitar is just as powerful as an electric guitar. And if it's, you know, if it's used right, if it's played, you know, in a percussive fashion. I mean, Ani DeFranco taught me this as well, but Kristen Hirsch really has an edge and a sort of a slightly different quality than Ani. Ani's very verbose and, you know, kind of goofy at times and very political. Kristen is a little bit more, you know, Art Nouveau, if you will, or something, you know, a little bit more mysterious to me. But she takes her instrument and she really transforms that acoustic guitar, and that's what I've been going for a lot in my music, is to try and take this instrument and make it, you know, sometimes, of course, you know, your typical lovely lilting melodies come out, but it can really be a rock instrument, and it doesn't have to be hokey, you know, like it can be powerful and cool as a distorted electric guitar a la PJ Harvey.
I noticed that you were claiming that you're fiercely independent in everything you do. Has that changed?
No. No, definitely not. I think I mentioned before that I had a spot, you know, like a day job when I was doing this album, and that day job turned into a career, and that career has turned into, you know, a lucrative source of funding for me, for my music. So I really don't need anybody else in terms of making the music and promoting the music. I mean, I act kind of as my own record company, and I can afford to do that, which is nice. I put myself in a situation where I don't have to depend on really a label or for a PR firm to take me on spec or, you know, any of those things. But I think as a young artist, we really kind of struggle trying to find support for our music so that we can do the next thing. So I'm able to fund it myself modestly, of course. It's not like I can spend $50,000 on a commercial radio campaign, but
would you?
If
someone, you know, said here's $50,000, would you use it all for that?
No, definitely not. No, but I guess what I'm saying is I can, you know, the labels, the major labels, that's a drop in the bucket for them, right? So they spend that money, and that's how you get people to the top of the charts and making you, you know, lots and lots of money. And so I'm not doing that. And clearly that's not what I want to do, but that's the big distinction. Otherwise, I think I'm really doing well at funding my own.
I see that you're on tour. Wondering about your son. Do you have a extravagant babysitter costs or?
So, you know, it's funny. I call it a tour on my website, kind of tongue in cheek, and you'll see in parentheses, it's sort of, I say I'm hitting the road, but only in so much as a new mom can really hit the road. So I'm sort of weekend warrioring it in terms of gigs in sort of a 2 hour, 2.5 hour radius from my home. So, I've kind of cast that, you know, that regional net to identify where I should be playing locally and that I can manage to with my son. So, you know, yes, I am. I'm performing and I'm performing, you know, like 1 to 2 gigs a month. So when I call it a tour, I'm using this sort of the mom definition of tour, if you will.
Is that ever going to change, do you think?
Oh, I hope so. Sure. I have, you know, I've got fantasies of going on, you know, longer tours, 2 to 3 weeks, being able to take my son when he's older, with me at least for a leg or a couple of legs, depending on how this all shakes out. But yeah, I mean, I think there are, you know, lots of ways to tour these days, and with, you know, all of the different modes of transportation, and, you know, anything's possible. So I think that I'll definitely have an opportunity to do that creatively. More intensely in the future.
Cool. We are looking forward to that. And for tour dates on her massive tour, make sure to log on to AliceBrightSky.com. Last question before we let you go. I'm curious if you think folk and pop can coexist.
I definitely think that folk and pop can coexist, and they do. In lots of music, I think there are, you know, great examples of it, you know, just spanning decades. It takes a little effort, I think, to swing it. But artists like Amy Mann is a good, you know, sort of current example of someone who I think spans the genres of folk and pop fairly well. You take artists like Feist or Regina Spektor or Yael Naim, or I don't even know if I said her name correctly, but Naim maybe. Artists like that who I think do a really good job of blending those folk and pop elements. You could kind of put them in either category depending on the song and the mood you're in when you're listening to them.
We are going to leave you now with my favorite song. You know what? It was dicey. I was liking I Am, but then I was like, well, I kind of like up in a way, because it kind of is that folk poppy coexisting together at the same time type song. And wanted to get your take on Up in a Way. I know it deals with rising above the mundane and love in life and recognizing how easy it is to get stuck on the ground. But at the same time, isn't it almost crazy that you can also get lost in the clouds?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it was sort of, it's just taking that perspective of recognizing that, like, we are so easily wrapped up in these ridiculous dramas with, to do with anything in our day-to-day lives, and how it is a little bit of effort, but, you know, we all can kind of rise above that. And so the song's coming from the perspective, like, I'm not interested in that. I want to rise above that stuff, and I want to do that with a particular person, you know, and we want to kind of get above all of this mess and really focus on the good stuff and the, you know, the big picture.
Cool. Alice Brightsky has been my guest. Make sure to log on to AliceBrightSky.com for more information. Go out, get the album Box of Me, and we leave you now with Up and Away.
Up and Away. Didn't really want to stay with everybody else on the ground, waiting in the lost and the found. You know, we were meant to go up and away, take a little holiday. We're reaching for the tops of the trees, hanging with the birds and the bees. Black and blue. ground with you.
Hey, what's up? It's Turtle with Enter the Shell. And if you know a band or are in a band and want to be featured on Enter the Shell, email me personally, turtle@entertheshell.com. And since you're already there, you might as well log on to Enter the Shell and download our cornucopia of podcasts and check out the blogs as well. You know, just something to keep you occupied from your daily life.